We live in an incredibly stressful world right now. We live in a very dark world right now. There are conflicts, there are strives, there are difficulties. There are hardships. There really are. And it's easy to focus on those hardships, whether it's just out of this doom in our hearts, or we focus on those hardships because we think maybe we can come up with a solution for them. I'll give you an example of this. Anyone ever come across a scam? A scam text, a scam email, a scam social media, a scam phone call? Anyone ever come across a scam person? Right? Yeah, we all have. We all have. In fact, there's probably some scams sitting in your inbox right now. If you were to look, don't look right now. But it's there, and sometimes you recognize it, sometimes you don't. In fact, just this last month, there was a manager of a bank that got scammed out of millions of dollars over a scam, right? So it's not just, years ago in Michigan, I was at a meeting with the Secretary of State because they were trying to educate everyone on scams, and they were mostly focused on, the scams for the elderly. But the rest of us are over here going, everyone's getting scammed. Young people are getting scammed. CEOs are getting scammed, right? Everyone's getting scammed. It's terrible. And I'm going to tell you this. Like, once in a while, if there's like, you know, if I get just the right phone call or if I got just the right text, and they already, you know, have my information or whatever, so it's not like I'm giving anything away, I would say, you know what? I need to do a service to humanity. And I am going to waste this person's time so they can't scam anyone else. And so I would just, wow, this sounds like a great opportunity. Oh my goodness, tell me more. Oh, wow, right? And like, they're like, oh, you got him on the hook. And I'm, you know, I'm just going. I'm not recording this for YouTube or anything, but I'm over here. And then right when they think they've got me and I've wasted a ton of their time and my time, I would tell them the gospel and warn them sternly, right? You need Jesus, and you're trying to scam people out of their life savings, and that's evil, and it's sinful, and how terrible of you. You're in danger of the fire of hell. Repent and believe in Jesus. Click, right? And I'm like, whew, good job, Nathan, right? Until just this week, I was listening to a podcast by Christianity Today, and they had some specialists on, and they were saying that the vast majority of scam calls, scam texts, scam emails that we get are from people who are enslaved by organized crime. I didn't know that. I had no clue. And they said, so now organized crime over the last 10, 15 years, they have shifted to the modern age. And what they'll do is they'll talk to people and say, and they'll set up these offices and they'll do job interviews. It's the job of your dream. Then they come out and at gunpoint, they put them into a facility. And if you don't scam a certain amount of people, there are dire consequences. So now I'm over here like, yeah, I wasted that scammer's time, gave him a doom and gloom kind of gospel, hell and brimstone. And now I'm like, man, I was probably talking to someone who is enslaved. What a dark world we live in. The expert said, you know, next time you come across a scam, just pray for the person, right? Pray that they get out. We live in a dark world. We live in a dark world. I was talking to another friend. You know, it's not a secret. We are in financial weirdness right now. She was saying, I don't think I will ever see my savings, and this isn't a rich person. She says, I don't think I'll live long enough to see my savings account recover from all of the financial turmoil we've seen recently. You guys know what that is? It's unreal. It's unreal, the financial turmoil that we have. Mental health is at an all-time low. Mental health among Americans is actually, I think it's around the world, but our mental health is really, really poor. And we know it's really, really poor because the mental health workers are overwhelmed. They are, God help them keep healthy boundaries, but they see the massive need. And so what do? They try and help everyone. And among mental health workers, their mental health is really low because there's such a huge need for it out in the world right now. Mental health is at an all-time low. If you feel like you are living in a dumpster fire right now, you are not alone. There are so many problems and so many difficulties. In the midst of all of them, why focus on Jesus? Shouldn't we be helping to free the enslaved scam artists, right? Shouldn't we be doing that? Shouldn't we be focusing on trying to get the economy fixed? Shouldn't we be focused on making sure that no matter what anyone says or does, we are always treating people to the greatest, to the least, however you want to define that, as human beings made in the image of God who matter to God? Shouldn't we be doing that? Why focus on Jesus in the midst of the turmoil? As we continue our journey through 2 Peter, remember, Peter, he is at the end of his life here. This is the last few things that he wanted to say to fellow believers in Christ. And as we read along in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 12, Peter tells these believers, you should focus on Jesus. Focus on his truth. Focus on his beauty. Because it will sustain you in a dark world until Jesus comes back. Read along with me here. Simon Peter says this, therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it is right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice, born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word made more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Peter is saying, we need to focus on the truth of Jesus. We need to focus on the beauty of Jesus because he and he alone will sustain us until his glorious return. Only focusing on Jesus will get us through the darkness of the days we are living through right now. Only focusing on Jesus will guide us and lead us and make sure that we're not deceived by sin, Satan, and the world or ourselves as we navigate the dark and treacherous waters of this world. Peter, it's amazing because we finished John just a few weeks, the Gospel of John a few weeks ago. And in verse 14, he says, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus made clear to me. He's referring to when Jesus said in the Gospel of John that he would die by crucifixion. Which, by the way, I have a cross on my lapel. And, you know, someone recently had said, you know, it's you got one pin on there. What happens if it spins upside down? It's the same thing I used to say when I was an obnoxious teenager. I haven't grown much. When I was an obnoxious teenager talking to goth kids, and they would have an upside down cross, and they're like, yeah, I'm bad. Look at this upside down cross. And historically, for thousands of years, you know what the upside down cross signified? Peter, St. Peter. Because Peter said he was not worthy to be crucified the same way Jesus was, so he requested to be crucified upside down. So I would have fun in the mall, and they're like, yeah, Satan. I'm like, no, if upside down isn't evil. It just it means Peter. So St. Peter, great, I'm a fan, cool. And they're like, no, how dare you? So yeah, if it goes upside down, I'm like, cool, Peter, right? Yeah, it's great. If I stand on my hands, which I can't do anymore, but if I was upside down, it doesn't make me evil Nathan. It's just, you know, like, okay. Upside down things don't make things evil. Anyway, moving on. So he knows he's going to die, as our Lord Jesus made clear to me. And as he's going through this, he tells them, we did not follow cleverly devised myths. Me and the fellow apostles, we weren't sitting in a back room saying, how can we get rich? How can we make people hate us? Right? How can we increase the maximum amount of persecution in our lives? No, they weren't doing any of that. They didn't follow these cleverly devised myths. In fact, Peter gives a piece of example. He says, no, me and the others, Peter, James, and John, they all experienced Jesus' transfiguration, which is what Peter's referring to here. At one point in Jesus' ministry, you know, he looks like a man, but he goes up onto the mountain, and Jesus allows the curtain of reality to be pulled back just enough so they can see. It's kind of like Superman in the old movie, you know, the old serials, where, you know, you have Clark Kent, and he's over here, and then all of a sudden, and he got the S on the chest, and they're like, oh, it's Superman, wow! That's kind of what Jesus did. He just looks like a man, and then he peels back the curtain of reality and lets them see the spiritual reality just long enough. Oh, he's God! And the voice of God the Father from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Elijah shows up. Moses shows up. Peter says a bunch of dumb things, which is not surprising. And they're like, wow, we've experienced the beauty of God. Many of you have experienced the beauty of God in your own special ways. Maybe not as dramatic, but maybe he's healed you. Maybe he's healed a family member. Maybe he's comforted you in your sorrow. Maybe he's provided for you financially. And Peter says, hold on to those things. Focus on those things. Those are important. Those matter. That is God breaking into the darkness of this world. But he says this. He says in verse 19, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. So Peter says, you know what? I know you guys didn't have that experience. You didn't have the experience of seeing Jesus transfigured, of seeing him for just a moment in all of his divine glory. But more importantly than that is you have the words of the prophets in Scripture. More important is the word of God confirming the truth of Jesus. All throughout the Old and New Testament is the confirmation that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. You should follow him. So yes, you might not have had an experience with God, but you have the word of God, Peter says. It's made more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns. I love that phrase. He's referring to Jesus' second coming, the day of the Lord. In the Old Testament, the day of Jesus in the New Testament, which is the same thing, the day when God finally comes back and brings justice to the earth. As a Christian, it is the most important day of our lives. This is the most glorious day of our lives. We should look forward to the second coming of Jesus. It is second Christmas. We have to look at it that way. I know there's been a lot of Christians who are like, oh man, I'm so scared of Jesus coming back. Man, well, if you're living in sin or you got like some major sin issue that you're like, whatever, or you're not really following Jesus, yeah, you should be concerned. But if you are a follower of Christ, you should look forward to him coming back and you should be ready when he comes. Because when the day dawns, the morning star rises in your hearts, everything will be changed. Knowing this, first of all, no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Peter's saying, we didn't make this up. No one made this up. And look at how many prophets all testify and point to Jesus. Look at how all the apostles, do you know how, like Peter and John were always kind of in this friendly or not so friendly competition. Paul had issues with Peter. Paul had issues with John Mark, right? There were all sorts of issues and conflicts, and yet they all agree Jesus is the Messiah and you should follow him. All personal issues aside, Jesus is the Son of God. Follow him. He is like a light shining in the dark place. Focus on Jesus. Focus on his truth. Focus on his beauty so that you will be able to have hope in this dark world until his glorious return. It will sustain you until he returns. So last work day we had, I think it was last spring, we had a lot of you came, we come to the work day and we're trying to clean up everything. And then I knew that we had to change the HVAC filters up in the upper room. Now, if you've ever been up there, the ceiling to that is, I mean, about that high. So we've got three guys. We're bringing a ladder up there. We've got the ladder put up there. And Tim very bravely held the ladder for us, right? You were holding the ladder for us. So he which is important because it's high up. So he's got the ladder. You know, the ladder's really wobbly. And me and Doug Morton, Doug Morton's not here today, so I can say whatever I want. So Doug and I, we go up into the attic because we have to change the filter in the HVAC system in the vents. So, you know, we go up there, I got the filter, and we're looking around, and it's dark, and it's a weird system. I mean, it's an old building, and everything's bizarre. It doesn't, you know, work the way you normally would think it would. So we're up there. It's pitch black. You can't see anything. And we're going around. We're like, where is it? Where is it? Okay, boom. Oh, it's here, right? So we're looking at this thing on the floor. And then what did Doug and I do instinctually? We pull out our phones. We put on the light, the flashlight app, right? So we're now looking and we're trying to figure this out. And it's like, man, we're having a hard time. And we're just right when we got it figured out. I don't remember if it was me or Doug. I'm pretty sure it was Doug. Just when we got it figured out. Oh, okay. This is what we need to do. Hey, what's this light switch do? Click. Oh, now you can see everything. But that's the image Peter's given us. If you're trying to change the filter up there in total darkness, you're never going to do it. Or maybe you will, but it's going to take a long time. But if you focus on the light of Jesus, oh, wow, now I can see. And then when Jesus comes back, it's like, psh, lights on. Wow, it's all here. Peter's saying, pull out your phone, turn on the flashlight. You have that opportunity. And actually, you do have that opportunity. You can pull out your phone and open the Bible app instead of doom scrolling on Facebook or whatever. Right? You can pull out the flashlight, turn it on, focus on Jesus, because he will sustain you through this dark world until he comes back. A little bit of testimony time. So when I was in probably like the tail end of my undergraduate work, and then while I was in seminary, I was traveling a lot in the car, and so I'm driving. This is before podcasts, and I'm driving a lot, and there's, you know, only so much music you can listen to. So I started listening to talk radio because I figured I should be an informed citizen. So, and is there any better way to become an informed citizen than listening to multiple hours a day of talk radio? Obviously not. I'm being facetious if you can't tell by the tone of my voice. So I started listening to this stuff. And if you don't know, like a lot of, like there's journalism and then there's opinion, right? And the opinion stuff likes to pose itself as journalism, but you can tell the difference by the level of rage that's being communicated or the amount of fear that's being communicated and everything that's being said. And so I'm listening to this stuff multiple times a week, hours and hours a week as I'm driving and everything. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to do something. We got to do something. Oh man, they're destroying this country, right? And every day. And that's how I kept listening because, oh man, it's so bad. It's so horrible. It's so awful. Until finally, through the word of God, I was convinced and convicted, this isn't good for my soul. I was nervous, I was anxious, I was fearful. And you know what? I wasn't really all that well educated in all the education I could about the names and the places and the senators. I probably could have done in 5-minute Google search online, right? I didn't really need to listen to the fear-mongering and the anger and the vitriol and all of this stuff and the otherism and those people come. I didn't need any of that. I was nervous. I was scared. I was like, oh, and what am I going to do? Finally, I was convicted by the word. Just turn it off. Just turn it off. And you know what? The world's still here. I didn't affect any presidential campaigns one way or the other, before or after. But the thing that changed was all of a sudden the world didn't seem as hopeless. And in fact, the things that I can affect out there, I can't affect the things way out there, but I can affect my sphere of influence. I can encourage my friends and family. I can encourage them when they have medical issues, right? I can pray with them when they're hurting. Those sorts of things. Oh, I have control over that. I can actually be an encouragement. I can change the world through the people I know, not through the scary stuff out there that I have no power and influence or control over ever. That's the image that he's giving us here. It's like, focus on Jesus to give you hope. Because here's the thing, There are problems out there in the world, and if you rightly identify those problems, but you're not focused on Jesus, man. Because some of you are like, well, hey, wait a minute, Pastor. There are real problems out there. So if we're all just here at church every single day, which if that's you and you're like, man, yeah, that's the kind of church I want, cool, I'll give you a set of keys. I'm not going to be here every day. But if we're here every single day, like, what about all the real problems out there? What about how people treat other people like they're not made in the image of God? And that happens when we have conversations about immigration. We dehumanize people with the language we use. That happens when we talk about prisoners. Yeah, prisoners, even if they're supposed to be in there, even if they're 100% guilty, still made in the image of God, Christ died for them, and they can come to repentance. The way we talk about them. My goodness, somebody gets arrested online. You see someone post a video or post a news article about someone who did something absolutely horrible. And what's the response of everyone online? We should do all this horrible stuff to them. No. No, we should be better than what they did. Still made in the image of God, Christ died for them. Jesus called us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Man, that's real stuff. We have to fight that, right? We have to fight that. But the problem is if you are not focused on Jesus before you start trying to address the problems, you're going to go off the rails. You're going to swing the pendulum the other way. You're going to start hating your enemies. You're going to start dehumanizing people. You're going to start fighting the wrong fight or maybe on the wrong side of everything. And not only that, you are going to be stressed out. You are going to be overwhelmed. And it is going to feel like evil is winning when evil never wins. There's never been an evil regime that has ever persisted. Every evil regime that has ever existed on the face of the earth has toppled over. And if you're not focused on Jesus, you're going to be tempted to think that, oh man, evil's going to win. Evil's going to win. Yeah, it wins some skirmishes. Yeah, it wins some battles, but it does not win the war. It has not won the war yet, and it will not win the war ultimately when King Jesus comes back. You need to have that hope. You need to have that hope. And if you're not focused on Jesus, you're like up there with me and Doug with no light, with no camera phones, with no camera flashlights, nothing, trying to find our way up there, trying to fix the HVAC system, and you can't do it. And maybe you can, but you know what? When you finally get to there, you're going to be so frustrated. You're going to be so worn out. It's going to take you so much time rather than turning on the light of Jesus and saying, oh, okay, here's the problem. Here's how we need to fix it. Here's how we need to fix it. We have to focus on Jesus in the midst of this dark world because he will sustain us until his glorious return, until he comes back. We have to focus on him. Otherwise, we will go astray. We will lose hope. We will lose heart. There's a scientist, graduated from Harvard, and got a degree from Johns Hopkins and eventually was working as a scientist, experimental scientist at Johns Hopkins. He was a biologist, Kurt Richner. He was a scientist, and he was what they called then biopsychology, right? So the integration of the mind and the body he studied. They did this experiment. And I'm really hesitant to tell you about it because it's kind of cruel, but I think it really bears a lot of what we're talking about today. They took cylinders of water, filled them halfway with water, and they put rats into the water and to see how long they would survive. And on average, the rats would be swimming around, trying to find a way out, couldn't find a way out. And they would die on average in about 15 minutes. They would drown. Horrible, I agree. This happened in 1950. The rats would die in about 15 minutes. Then they changed up the experiment. They would put the rats in. Rats looking around, can't find anything. And just before they were about to give up, at that, 14-minute mark, they would have someone take the rat out, dry it off, hold it for a little bit, and then put it back in. Now, how long do you think that rat would last in round two? How long do you think? 18 minutes, right? 15 minutes. On average, they lasted 60 hours. 60 hours. So 15 minutes. No hope, no hope. Oh, I can't get out. I'm dead. But if someone came in and reached in and held it for just a few minutes and then put it back in there, the psychology of a rat said, oh my gosh, someone might come save me. There is hope. It's not all darkness and gloom. Ugh, 60 hours from 15 minutes. It would keep on going. My goodness, Christians, some of us are the absolute most miserable people in the world because we focus on all the wrongs. We focus on all the evils. And yes, there are wrongs. And yes, there are evils. And yes, we have to take care of them. But you can't take care of them unless you're focused on Jesus first. You can't take care of the problems of this world unless you know that there is a problem solver. You can't. You absolutely cannot. You have to focus on Jesus. You must focus on Jesus. He will sustain you. He will encourage you. He will give you hope. And church, look, you're not rats. We're not rats. None of us are rats. We're much more important than that. And our enemy is stronger than some messed up scientist trying to do an experiment in a lab. We have an enemy, sin, Satan in the world, sometimes us too. You know, myself, me, myself, and I. And they are stronger than you. They are more powerful than you. They are smarter than you. They are craftier than you. They will sink lower than you even have the imagination to sink that low. And we think we can do it on our own. We think that we're smart enough. We think that we can take care of it. No, we have to start with focusing on King Jesus because we know that he is working now, and on that day, when that day dawns and he comes back, he will make all things right. He will strengthen you. He will inspire you. He will direct you. And more importantly, he will redirect you. When you're going the wrong way, it has to start with Jesus. So you're here and you're like, well, what does that look like? How does that look? Does it matter if I come to church? Yes, come to church so that we can come together as a congregation and remind ourselves and each other that there is a God in heaven, that he sent his son Jesus. He's given us God the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, and life matters to him. He is working right now. More so than that, the church, the local church, is the body of Christ. There is a supernatural reality that happens, that when we come together, we are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Where his church gathers, here Jesus is too. I don't understand it fully, but he is here. You can't get it from home. You can't get it on your own. You have to have your church family gathered. What else happens? In the midst of the darkness out there and the frustrations when you're seeing the news or you're having these really negative thoughts, you have to learn, as Paul said, to renew your mind and redirect your thoughts to Christ. That's going to look different for each of us. But you know, some of us, you know, we beat ourselves up. Oh, I'm such an idiot, right? No, you're not. You are a son or daughter of God Most High. And if you think that, how do you focus on Jesus in the midst of that dark thought coming into your life? You focus on it with Scripture and say, no, I am called a son or daughter of God the Most High, adopted by Jesus Christ. And if you have to say it 100 times in a day, say it 100 times in a day. Maybe you're more aggressive. Somebody cuts you off in traffic. You got coworkers that you can't stand, and they are evil in the absolute sense of the word. What do you do? What do you do? Man, I'm going to fight them. I'm going to do this stuff, right? I love the online things. They're like, look, we're just going to be passive aggressive about this. They keep stealing my lunch. Next day, I'm going to make my lunch with cat food in it. Right? No, that's not what we do. What do as Christians? We look at those people and we say, made in the image of God. Made in the image of God. You're struggling with lust? Whether it's people you're looking at walking down the street, interpersonal relationship, or online pornography, you're struggling with that, guess what? Change your mind. And every time you look at another human being, you say, in the name of Jesus, that person is made in the image of God. They cut you off. Made in the image of God. Made in the image of God. Have fun with it, even if it's not sinful. Go to the grocery store today after church and start looking around. Say, that person's made in the image of God. That person's made in the image of God. That person's made in the image of God, and Christ died for them. Your mind will be changed. It will be transformed over and over and over again. If you're here and you say, man, you go back to the negative thoughts about yourself, I'm worthless, I don't matter. That's not true. In Christ Jesus, you are valuable. I sit with Christ in the heavenlies. I don't understand what that means, but I know it's true because it's in Scripture. I am a child of God. I matter over and over and over again because we live in this dark world that is greater than us. It is more powerful than us. It is skeevier than us. But it's not greater than Jesus. You must focus on Jesus in this dark world because he will sustain you until his glorious return. In this dark world, focus on the beauty of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we get to take communion together just now and be reminded that you did not leave us as orphans on the earth. You are here in our midst right now through the person of the Holy Spirit. You are here in our midst right now as the body of Christ gathers together. These are our brothers and our sisters. You have called us to walk alongside each other in our pain and our hardships and in our good days. We cry together and we rejoice together. Father, we are in an overwhelming world right now with overwhelming information coming at us from all angles. Father, help us to take a moment and reflect that Christ died, Christ rose again, Christ is coming back, and Christ is here with us now. So no matter how dark the day gets, the dawn will come. Encourage our hearts. Father, I pray for those who are here right now and they feel like their life is falling apart. I pray that those who are here right now and they are hurting, help them to have a vision of Christ risen from the dead. Help them to see that Jesus loves them and cares for them and is working in and through their lives. That though the darkness comes, the sun always rises. Father, prepare our hearts as we take communion right now. We repent of our sins. Over and over and over again, our lives are characterized by repentance because we don't want the garbage of sin. We don't want the garbage of this world. We want the beauty of Christ. We want to love as he loved. We want to serve as he served. We want to be filled with his kindness and his joy and his self-control. We can't do that on our own, so we ask for the Holy Spirit to come and change us. Prepare our hearts as we repent to be reminded that Christ broke his body and shed his blood for all who believe so that we will not perish but have eternal life. Help us to live in the reality of the forgiveness that we have through Christ's death on the cross. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.